Clark, would you like to tell us what that wonderful bill does?
Chair Corcoran, members of the committee, House Bill 2140A transfers the duty of reviewing artifacts to determine historical significance from the Secretary of State to the State Parks and Recreation Department, eliminates the Archives and Historical Properties account, clarifies that the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department may accept donated historical artifacts on behalf of the state or a political subdivision, and may agree to place the artifacts in the custody of a state agency or political subdivision.
Thank you. Okay. Are you folks local here? Can you actually wait 2 seconds and let me get the colonel out of here first and get him on his way? Oh, I want to see you work, Colonel. We're close to work the public hearing and open a public hearing on House Bill 2175. And we'll have Colonel Caldwell. Go ahead and read what that does. I'm sorry for the confusion, colleagues.
Chair Corcoran, members of the committee, House Bill 2175 authorizes the Oregon Military Department to sell, exchange, or lease real property, authorizes the Oregon National Guard Association to use armories and other military facilities at no cost.
Colonel Caldwell, would you like to tell us why this is such a good idea?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Colonel Mike Caldwell. I'm the Deputy Director of the Military Department. The bill we have before you today does a couple of things, as your staff said. First and most important is it allows armory property in the statutory language. Currently, we have language that we've interpreted and the Attorney General's office has interpreted for a number of years as armories meaning all kinds of property. This clarifies that. It's not that clear, and we thought it was probably important that we do that, so if we end up in a situation where we're in the business of exchanging or perhaps selling property in any part of the state, that we can have the statutory language clear for everybody's purposes. For example, we have training camps and lands that are not specifically an armory, but yet we've always considered them such and handled them in that manner as the statute directs for armories. So this clarifies that, and that allows us the opportunity to do business a little easier. It still requires, statutory language still requires that we would bring any of this to the legislature for final approval, but it would, I think, make life a little bit simpler for us in that regard, and that's why we asked for that clarification. The other part of the bill, the second part of the bill, is basically codifies what we've been doing for as many years as I've been in, which is 32 now, and that's allowed the Oregon National Guard Association to use our facilities at no cost. Typically, this association is members of the Oregon National Guard who pay their own money to be in this association. It's an education and enhances basically the younger officers and officer training and senior NCOs. It doesn't have a political arm to it. It doesn't do political activities. It doesn't donate to the candidates one way or the other. It does try to stay up on political issues, however, but there is no political action committee here. It's simply a education, and the association has used our facilities for a number of years. There is a negligible cost, if any. They typically meet during the time when the armories are open anyway. Lights are on, so it's not a cost or a maintenance issue. They meet typically once a month for about an hour. And we thought that probably given our focus on trying to maximize the use of our facilities and generate as much other fund revenue as we possibly can, we wanted to make this real clear. So if people did have a question, it was not something that we were not having all of our cards face up. So those are our two issues in House Bill 2175, and we would I request your approval of them, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that I might be able to answer for you today.
Well, Colonel, I guess the one thing that would help me is tell me how the bill actually speaks to the second point, the using the facilities at no cost by the association. I'm not seeing that in the bill.
Page 2, line 20.
Right at the end of the...
This didn't have a second page. Got it, sorry.
Right toward the end of the...
Gotcha. Yeah, I didn't have the second page, so it's a lot easier even for the Irish if they have the page in front of them. Great, thanks. Senator?
Colonel, does the military department have any idea how much property it actually owns?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Menace, indeed we do. We have 41 armories. We have two air bases. We have four major training areas that that we currently have. The ownership of those four, the ownership, most of it's under lease of the federal government. The only one we actually own outright, the state holds a title on, is Camp Withicum and Camp Riley Up. And those are the title we have. Those Camp Adair, Central Oregon, Boardman and Umatilla are all federal installations that we have a lease with the Corps of Engineers on.
Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent answer. The last time I asked this question of someone from DAS who's in charge of all of the real estate in the state of Oregon, they had not a clue. But you do. That's good.
Well,
that's
give me a break, Senator Menace. All the land that the state of Oregon owns?
Well, they actually didn't even know who held a title to them. They were in the process of doing an inventory, and they still don't know, by the way.
And it was the Association of Oregon Industries, or did they ever determine who it was?
No. This is the Department of Administrative Service.
I understand.
Oh, you're being smart.
I'm being smart.
Irish to Irish.
Relatively speaking.
Mr. Chairman, I might just add that the properties that we currently have, was asked in the House hearing, we have two pieces that are currently for sale if you're interested. One of them is landlocked on the Newport Airport, and we'd be glad to make you a good deal on that. And the other one is a piece of 40 acres of timber ground we got in a trade with Tillamook County, and it's however we're ready to trade it off to the state forestry, so it's probably not available. But Newport's a heck of a deal, and we'd certainly like to talk to you about that if you're interested.
Well, maybe get the department.
You got it first here, right on record. Thank you very much. Any other incriminating questions to ask? All right, we'll close the public hearing, open a work session on House Bill 2175.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Menace,
I would move House Bill 2175 to the floor of the Senate unamended with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Menace recommends that we move House Bill 2175 to the floor of the due pass. Any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Gravel, will you call the roll, please?
Senator Saul?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Vice Chair Menace?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. Should we put it on the consent calendar? It was 55-0 over on the other side, so please put it on the consent calendar. Close the work session on 21. Pardon?
Mr. Chair, you need to assign someone on this.
Oh, we do, that's right. Any volunteers? All right, Senator Menace will carry it, since he's the only one that had a question.
You had a question.
Well, I had a small
comment.
Yeah. Okay, now we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2140. Thank you for your indulgence there, folks. And we have, let me guess here, Lane Sawyer and James Hamrick?
Hamrick,
I'm sorry. Welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Lane Sawyer, and I'm representing the State Archives Division, part of the Secretary of State's office, and I'm here to provide testimony in support of House Bill 2140. The 1995 legislature transferred the Historic Properties Program from the Secretary of State to the State Parks and Recreation Department. Unfortunately, the statutes are not correct to remove were not corrected to remove references to the Secretary of State when no longer applicable. House Bill 2140 does this. in ORS 358.645, House Bill 2140 replaces Secretary of State with the State Parks and Recreation Department. House Bill 2140 amends ORS 358.650, sub 1, by replacing Secretary with Department. House Bill 2140 removes ORS 358.660 entirely. This reference is an account that is defunct everywhere but the statutes. It contains no money. House Bill 2140 amends ORS 357.885 to remove mention of the empty and defunct Archives and Historic Properties account and replaces it with the Miscellaneous Receipts account. House Bill 2140 inserts references to ORS 357.885 in ORS 279.833.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hamrick, do you have any comments?
Mr. Chairman, James Hamrick. I'm Assistant Director for Heritage Conservation at Parks and Recreation Department, and didn't really plan on testifying, but just wanted to come up and say that my division basically deals with this statute, and we have no objection.
Good bill should pass. Yes, Senator Walker.
I'm sorry, but I've just got to ask this question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If this happened in 1995, we're now in 2003, how come you just figured it out if they didn't make the change? If somebody decided to go to bed at night and read the statute?
The statute isn't, it's not active or well used. And I think a number of people knew there were some problems with it. I actually mentioned it to Secretary of State's office probably a year ago and asked them if they would do something about it. So it's just,
Someone got bored and couldn't get to sleep one night. So, all right, well, thank you.
Did you have a question? Could you think of a question, please? I'm running out of material.
Well, no.
Yes.
I've got this great historic properties tax credit bill that would fit under the relating clause in this bill.
Better move this bill out of committee. Close the public session. Open the work session on, yes, 2170.
Move House Bill 2140. Rose to the floor of the Senate with a Duke Pass recommendation, unamended by the Senate.
Senator Menace moves House Bill 2140 to the floor with a Duke Pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Prevelle, you call the roll, please.
Aye.
Senator
Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Minnick?
Aye.
Chair Portman? Aye. Passed unanimously to House Bill 2140A. This isn't very exciting. We'll put it on the consent calendar, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, Senator Starr said he will carry it. Thanks, Senator Starr.
Don't let him co-opt the bill.
Thank you very much, folks.
I have to slow down. Don't worry.
Such stunning testimony that you just had your way with us. We're done. Yes.
The next one is equally as...
I'm very interested in the next one. All right, we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2170, please. And would you let us know what that does, Mark?
Yes.
Please.
Chair Corcoran, members of the committee, House Bill 2170 renames the Manufactured Dwelling Park Ombudsman Program to the Office of the Manufactured Dwelling Park Community Relations.
And we have Jack Kinney and Eve Ford. Please come up. Welcome.
Chair Corcoran, members of the committee, my name is Jack Kinney. I'm Deputy Director of Oregon Housing and Community Services Department.
I'm Eve Ford, and I am the Services Outreach Section Manager for Housing and Community Services.
As your committee administrator explained, this is basically a name change bill, so my two pages of testimony may be overboard. I'll skip through it if it's the pleasure of the committee quickly.
It is the pleasure of the committee.
It's basically a truth in advertising bill. What this bill does is, as the committee administrator identified, every time in the statute there's a reference to Manufactured Dwelling Park Ombudsman Program, it's changed to the Manufactured Dwelling Park Community Relations Office. Again, it's truth in advertising, as was observation of one of the House members that heard this bill. I'll just quickly describe what our program does and contrast that with what an ombudsman does. Our program provides direct service and activities to support improvement of manufactured dwelling park landlord-tenant relations. The program is develops and implements a centralized resource referral program so that people can have questions about landlord-tenant law. They have a place to call, and maintains a current list of manufactured dwelling parks in the state and the total number of spaces. The program has been very successful because it operates in a confidential, voluntary, and neutral setting. Again, provides training and technical assistance, usually tries to steer people towards mediation and dispute resolution, saving legal costs, and hopefully, and it's, again, has a good track record of resolving landlord-tenant disputes. In contrast, an ombudsman is typically characterized by someone who hears complaints, investigates complaints, and in some cases enforces a solution. For our program, if someone had the ability to do that and basically served as an advocate, it would be counterproductive, in our opinion, to the role that we play as a neutral mediator. I think that's probably...
The problem I'm having with this is that I like the notion of ombudsman. I mean, we have them workers' comp. You know, it's some people in the plain meaning of the word, whatever the hell it means. You know, people recognize that an ombudsman, an ombudsperson, I've heard, is someone that will advocate for them. And I'm not sure community relations sounds more like, you know, community relations, like not something that necessarily a person with a problem in this area would have. So that's, you know, I have no big dog in this fight, obviously, but that's the one issue that it kind of raises for me. Senator Walker?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Kenny was in my office earlier this week, and we talked about that issue because the manufactured housing community really would like an ombudsman rather than a community relations office. These folks do a tremendous job, and I just want to give kudos to the department because every time I need something done or answered, they are here to answer it. But I have a lot of manufactured housing communities in my district, and they do have complaints, some legitimate, some not, and I know there's a landlord-tenant group that works a lot of these issues out, but I think the folks would really like an ombudsman, a true ombudsman, and Mr. Kinney spoke to me about that. Do you want to address that issue?
Chair Corcoran, Senator Walker, yes, thank you. You are correct. As far as it's a valid policy debate that the legislature may very well want to take up regarding having an ombudsman. I will say that because we do not have the power in statute right now to operate an ombudsman program, this is a source of frustration for many people who call the department. Mm-hmm. They expect an ombudsman based on the title ombudsman without looking at what the statute says. And I think that causes, again, a frustration with our department and with government in general. If, why aren't you advocating for me? Why aren't you going to bat for me? Again, what our program was designed to do is something different than that, and I think has a valuable function to play short of what an ombudsman does. Regarding your specific question on the landlord-tenant group and the need that's out there, again, that may very well be an important public policy debate that the legislature wants to take up, not included in this bill. I can tell you that a representative from the AG's office has met with the Landlord-Tenant Coalition to explore ways to address the very issues you're raising. A lot of times people don't have the financial wherewithal, don't have the technical background to know, even with the information that our program can provide, how far they can actually pursue something if they're on solid legal ground, for example, what options are available to them. So you're correct. The Landlord-Tenant Coalition has been looking into this matter. The AG's office has been participating in those discussions. There may be a way to address this outside of a law change, but that's something that they're exploring, you know, even as recently as last week. And you're correct. There are valid issues that do probably warrant having more than this. How that's best done, my expectations are that the Landlord-Tenant Coalition will probably bring forward a proposal in the 2005 session. In the meantime, the AG's office has indicated an initial willingness to do some of the investigatory work that would be appropriate.
If I could just follow it up. I really appreciate your in-depth comments about that. And the Landlord-Tenant Coalition is not a statutory group. They just, and all sides got together. And I really want to commend all sides here for being willing to come together and form a coalition to try to work out their grievances. And I think that's what you're saying, is that they'll probably come forward in the next session with a more statutory organization to work that out. And I think that would be appropriate, because they're all doing a really good job as it is now, but I think there still are some issues that are underrepresented.
Any other questions?
I
think I'll close the public hearing, but I don't think I'm going to go into a work session, because if there were, you know, if there was something else in place that we were going to contemplate that would give some protection, I'd probably go ahead and just do it. But absent that, I think until they, if they work out something, fine, then we can revisit this. But otherwise, I feel comfort knowing there's an ombudsman. So we're adjourned, and I think we won't do a meeting on Wednesday, because we're waiting for a couple of LC drafts yet that aren't completed, and there's really not, there's a couple of government contract things that I think people are going to want to weigh in on, so we're going to hang on to those for a while.
Okay, great.
A free day. Thank you.